Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, we've done the Eastern Conference over-unders just for a little tally. I have 10 unders in the East. You have 11 unders in the East. If the paying attention worked while we were doing this and I was jotting things down on my piece of paper, that could also be a very wrong number, and the people who have listened to the Eastern Conference podcast are laughing at such horrible math by myself. But hey, we're going to do the Western Conference over-unders, and we love doing this.
It's a good time. It is a very, very good time, even as, you know, we inevitably have strong opinions and really feel strongly. And then a year later, it's like, oh, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, oh, the Bucks are going to be really good this year. No, they weren't. They were not good at all. And it continues. I will notice I do have significantly more wins for the Western Conference than the East. So as much as I feel that the Eastern Conference, I do feel the Eastern Conference is more competitive as a whole.
Than the West?
Yeah.
I don't see that at all.
Just in terms of team strength, team to team, because I'm like, you know, Cavs, Raptors, Celtics, Pistons, Pacers, Hawks, Hornets. That's like seven teams that I think are really good, and there will probably be another one that jumps into that, whether it's Wizards, Bucks, Heat, someone. And then in the West, I'm like, well, the Warriors are awesome and the Clippers are really good and the Spurs will do what they always do. And the Grizzlies, if healthy, will be really good and the Jazz will be better. And then I don't know about the rest of these teams.
Well, let's go over them and hopefully I can talk some sense into you, or you could just tell me why I'm so wrong about them. Either one.
Probably both, actually.
Probably both. Let's start with the Northwest Division. We'll work our way from up to west to middle of the country. I don't really understand how the divisions align anymore. But, all right, let's start with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Over-under of 45.5. I'm trying to be very optimistic about this team because I do still think things can work, but then I think about it more and more, and I get to that point 2 years ago where Russ was trying to drag this team into the playoffs by himself, and it kind of got awkward. Even though it was cool, like his performances were fun and his stats were insane, it was kind of awkward.
I have more hope for them this season. I have the under at 44. But Steven Adams is really good.
He is.
He's a very good player. I think Victor Oladipo will do some stuff and help. I think he'll be a helpful player. Much of their issue that season when Russ was out was the defense went to just crap. I mean, it just fell apart.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a good chance that under Billy Donovan, it could do better in terms of they'll also – part of it is you build schemes around the personnel you have. And they thought they had Kevin Durant, and then they didn't. And Westbrook also missed a lot of time that season as well.
Yeah,
and
he missed dented a lot early face. On. Yep. Yeah. That, oh, God, I forgot about that dent.
He dented his face. So – that's not the – hopefully if Westbrook is – I mean, if Westbrook is healthy, obviously they're done. But, like, knowing coming in what they're going to need to do, I think that there's a good chance that they can get some contributions. I actually am very high on Roberson, and I'm actually surprisingly – like, I think Josh Wastis can play a little bit. Like, there's guys down the roster I think can play a little bit. Now, the Cameron Payne breaking his foot thing, that's not good.
Yeah, that's I mean, they have Ronnie Price, which normally isn't such a – optimistic thing to say. I also like, while I like Cameron Payne a lot and I think he's going to be a good point guard in this league as long as he's healthy, I don't know how much better he is than Ronnie Price right now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't shoot well at all last year, right? Like, so then what's the difference between him and Ronnie Price? Like, Ronnie Price probably a better defender. Cam Payne is a better all-around player most likely, but if he's not hitting shots, then I don't really know what to make of that, you know?
I mean, Payne's really – I think Payne's athletic, and he makes plays, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
for
he's
sure.
He's a guy where stuff happens versus Ryan Price, who I feel like is just kind of there.
I have them for 47 wins. I have them just over the Payne.
You're pessimistic and have the over, and I'm optimistic and have the under. So.
That sounds about right for us. I still think, like, I think this team could win 50. I really do. I'm huge on Oladipo. I love that he's going to be on a better team and can have more of an impact. He was just like the Magic were just really bad when he and Alfred Payton played together last season. And I think putting him next to Russ is obviously a huge upgrade. But I think it's a huge upgrade for his own impact and what he can do. I'm a little worried about Russ playing defense and having to shoulder this load, but maybe the other guys can make up for that. And I'm with you. Like, Steven Adams is awesome, and I think he's going to be involved a lot more, and I think that's a problem for opponents.
Their odds to win the division are actually 13-5. So a little bit of a chance if you think that the Thunder could excel, if you think that Westbrook will carry them to a higher level. That's not bad.
It's not bad, but I also don't think it's going to happen. And here's why. Because let's move to the Utah Jazz, who I think are going to run away with this division.
I'm
going
to have to hose you and James down about these guys.
Matt, like, tell me where the weaknesses with this team.
There are none. I've looked at the roster, and I've been the same way. Like, they're good everywhere. They're good defensively. They've got Rodney Hood. They've got Gordon Hayward. They've got a rim protector who's probably the best in the league. They've got good point guard play now. They added shooters. They added veteran weapons. Like, there's everything there. My problem, they were going to be really good last year, and they still missed the playoffs, and the injuries were a big factor there. But
they were the fact. That's the only reason they missed the playoffs, is the injuries.
Correct. But injuries happen, and I'm also of the opinion, like, until I see it come together, I'm a little bit cautious. I have to be at least, I think, a little bit cautious. It was also weird that when, like, Gobert goes down, obviously, and the defense gets worse. That's not weird at all. But what happens, like, they become this hyper-efficient offensive team that couldn't defend at all.
Yeah,
and then
weird.
Gobert comes back, and they become this stout defensive squad that struggles to score. And I'm like, you're Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde when Rudy Gobert is on and off the court.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at it as you're upgrading from Howell Neto and Shelvin Mack for a good chunk of that season at point guard to those guys like just kind of being afterthoughts on the bench, and you have George Hill and Dante Exum. I don't know how good Dante Exum is. I do know what I hear early on out of training camp, and my God, it sounds amazing. Alec Burks is still coming back from an injury, so maybe he'll be slow to start the season, but this team really runs like 11 deep. And they added, like, you're not playing Jeff Withey and Tibor Pleiss this year if Rudy Gobert goes down. You're playing Boris Diaw. And even if he's out of shape, like, he's still good enough to be way better than those guys, right? I think Derek Favors is going to be a monster. I think Hayward's going to be a monster because he won't have to do as much. I think Hood's going to be incredible. This team is so good. Their over-under is 47.5.
Yeah.
You're not going to – I have them for 54 wins. Because I just don't see weakness. Like, they turn the ball over a little too much.
I have the Cavaliers for 54 wins. Don't you have the Cavs for 53?
53.
You have the Jazz winning more. Who's talking who into sense now?
I'm just riding with them. I really am. Like, I look at this team, and I have tried to be so negative in the way I analyze this team because I don't want to oversell them. But I just, the other than, like, they turned the ball over a lot last year, but even that could have just been more injuries and inexperience. They've added Joe Johnson, like, they've added George Hill, they added Boris Diaw. This team got healthier. Like, I just don't see a weakness.
Here, I have them on the under at 46. And if nothing else, this is one thing I would say. The Jazz have been really good at so many things the last 2 years, except for one very big, even offense they kind of struggled. But even then they started to really figure things out last year. They've struggled in one key area. Winning games.
Yeah.
And that's a reductive argument, but I will say this. There are lots of teams that you and I watch 99 and we're like, they're really good. And then you look at it and you're like, they're just not winning. Like, they just, it's like circumstantial stuff. Like, they ran into this team when they were red hot or they had a road trip at a really bad time, or the injuries came during the homestand. So they didn't win a bunch of games that they should. Like, Utah's got to figure out how to win. And maybe Joe Johnson and Boris Diaw will help considerably with that.
And George Hill. George Hill's really good.
And George Hill, who's really good. But I have to be not super pessimistic, just they're not going to jump to 48 wins overnight pessimistic.
I mean,
I also think the other thing I would say, that division, I don't know how you can pick for any team in that division to go over 50 with how good every team in that division is.
Because I think they'll dominate most teams in that division. They're just too good defensively. I really do. Like, it's possible injuries hit them. If they're even relatively healthy, I just think they run away with it.
Yeah, and you hate to use the injury thing, because it's like any team. Any team is like that.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Every team gets injuries, and any team can get hit and just be... Like, the Warriors could conceivably lose 4 people and then...
and still make the 8th seed.
And struggle to win 50, but still. I do think... hang on one second. I do have to. I want to look at this real quick.
Yeah, I'm all in on the Jazz hype train. I tried to talk myself out of it. I just can't.
Terrence friggin' Lee. Good Lord. They were 4-0 versus Denver. They match up very well with Denver.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. The altitude doesn't bother them, right? Like that's kind of the thing.
They were 1-3 versus Portland. They were 0-4 versus OKC, and you imagine that will improve.
I would think so.
And they were 3-1 versus Minnesota.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess. I mean, I understand all the reasons to be high on them. I'm high on them. I'm hopeful. I'm just not going to commit to that many wins without – it just seems very – I can't imagine a situation where you go from out of the playoffs to 50 wins.
I mean, all right, whatever you think
without
about –
without a superstar.
Whatever you think about the Pythagorean win-loss record measurement last year, they were at 46 last year. You know, yeah, like they won 40 games, but they were projected to, with the way they played and their point differential and all that stuff, to be 46-36.
And they only missed the playoffs by a game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they just didn't try in the last game against Kobe. Sorry, Kobe fans, but they didn't because they were already eliminated. Like they just didn't care at that point.
They were brokenhearted. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Rockets were up like 25 as that game tipped off. Like there was no way that they were going to do it because the Rockets had tiebreaker. So if you consider them a 46 win team or even a 45 win team, and you add George Hill to that team and you add Boris Diaw and Joe Johnson, like I don't think adding 8 to 9 wins based on those guys and health is that crazy.
They are 9-5 favorites to win the division.
Got
to
do it.
Not a good return. there's no money to be made there. All right, let's talk Blazers.
You don't like the, or no, I won't say you don't like this Blazers team. But you're not a huge believer.
No.
Their over under is 45.5.
I picked they were going to be the worst team in the league last year, so I feel like I'm not even qualified to mention them. Like, I feel like I just don't get to have an opinion on the Blazers. I just think they overachieved in a bad Western Conference.
Yeah, like, I agree with that.
They had as many wins as the Eastern Conference 8th seed and wound up 5th because Dallas fell off and Memphis had 20 – they had to have 28 guys on roster at one point. Like, you know, they added Evan Turner and they really believe Evan Turner is going to, like, take them to a new level. Festus isn't going to be ready for months. Leonard's coming back from injury.
If Festus was going to be healthy, you could talk me into this team a lot more. I still think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're in danger of missing the playoffs.
I really have a problem with the fact that I did the numbers. Let's see. I think it was 18-26. Their record outside of a 2-month stretch between January and February was awful. I mean, it was.
They weren't consistent at all. They just hit that hot streak, and the West fell.
It's not even like they weren't consistent. It's okay. In January and February, they were 18-7. Okay, that's terrific.
Yeah.
In October, November, and December, they were 14-21, and in March and April, they were 12-10. Like, this was basically a 500 team that hit a little bit of a growth spurt. A little bit of a spurt. And remember, like they played a bunch of teams that were banged. I remember this because I was like,
because you kept waiting for them to start losing.
Yeah, I kept waiting for them to keep losing. You know, they weren't good that first start of the year.
Yeah, they were bad until like mid January.
And then January and February, they just kept running into teams that they could beat. For that reason, they would run into the Jazz who were going through the injury spate, and they would hit some other team that just couldn't match up with them. Like it was just this confluence of events. I think they're a good team. They're obviously much better than I expected, but their over-under is just – I can't buy in at 44 wins.
Well, no, you got to buy in at 46. They're 45.5.
46 wins. I've got them for 43 this season.
I'm for 43 as well.
I think they still make the playoffs. Look, that's as good as the Hornets. I have the Hornets at. You know, I just think – I think with that division, with how tough it is, I think with the defense is really kind of in the surprise. But Stotts is still so good. That's part of it. It's like, man,
well,
I want to bet against Terry Stotts.
Yeah, well, I don't think you are necessarily. Like, you're still picking them as a playoff team, right? And I do think they overachieved a little bit last year. My biggest problem with them was they really only played defense well for 1 month. Like, the month of February, they were a good defensive team, and the rest of the season, they were mediocre to really bad. And so, to me, it feels fluky in that respect. Now, if their offense is awesome, then it doesn't really matter, right? Like, they still win those games. Lillard and McCollum are great. But I do think that there will just be some defensive issues going into this season. So that's why I have them under. And I don't know, like, they were kind of healthy last year, right? Like, like you said, it sucks to keep coming back to health of, like, oh, if they're healthy or if they're not healthy or whatever. But I don't know, like, it's kind of, there's some teams, and maybe this is just the stigma of Portland and, you know, Portland Trailblazers, and it's unfair and it's not even justified at this point. But there are some teams where you just kind of think, like, are they going to be healthy year to year? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's tough to figure. I think the safer bet is the under, and I feel pretty good about the under. I do think they could be a better team with a worse record. I think that's likely.
Yeah, I think they could be a much more dangerous playoff team. Yeah, and this is a team. Well, all right, they beat the Clippers because the Clippers got injured, but I think this could be a dangerous playoff team that doesn't look as dangerous in the regular season.
If they wind up in like a 4-5. With Memphis, I would think that they would have a really good chance there. I think that they would have a very good opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how you're picking the Jazz to win that many games when you know the Minnesota Timberwolves are.
Right, the Minnesota Timberwolves, I've got them for 60. No, I don't. Just kidding. all right, Minnesota Timberwolves, over under 41.5. So do you believe that this is an above 500 team? I do not. I think they're very improved. I think they're going to be fun. I think they're going to finally legitimize this, hey, they should be your league pass team this year, you know, like all that crap. Like, I don't think they're going to become irrelevant in January till the end of the season. I really don't. But this is a team that won 29 games last year. They add Tom Thibodeau. I don't know, like, they added Chris Dunn, who could be really good. They added Cole Aldrich and Brandon Rush and Jordan Hill. Like, these just aren't names that really, you know, blow you away, right? So I think they're deep-ish, and I think that they've got some real firepower. But you're still this is a team with two 21-year-olds and a 20-year-old as their core. And to ask them to be a real player in the Western Conference right away, it could happen. I just don't really see it happening. So I've got the under, not way under, but I've got the under at 39 wins.
I've got the over.
What?
Yeah. I've got them at 42 wins. I think they're going to be one game better than 500.
Wow.
And I thought it was crazy in my head. I was like, that's like too much. And then here's the thing. I was like reading an article about the hype about them. And I was like, I just think people need to settle down. Like, young teams don't win. We really need to settle down. How many wins did I have them for? Oh, 42.
I do think Towns is good enough to make them significant, right?
That's my argument.
Like, he is that good.
And Carl Anthony Towns.
If Wiggins improves, which it sounds like he's in a better mindset than he was. Like, I don't have this on great authority, but I don't really think he enjoyed playing under Sam Mitchell. I think that really bothered him. I'd say the same thing about Zach LaVine. These guys seem to like be excited about playing for Tom Thibodeau. We'll see how that is in December. You know, I think that could change after a couple of months. But as of right now, they're way more excited about Tom than they were about Sam.
We'll check in with them after the tourniquets. That's
right, exactly. After the spinal tap that happens.
Thibodeau wins regular season games. I also think that they could make major improvements when they trade Rubio for like key veteran additions.
That could happen. I don't think that's going to happen until the off season, but it could happen in season. Yeah, I could see that.
Like, I think if they get out to a really hot start and Dunn looks good, and they're like, hey, like, we might be able to just ride Dunn. Like, this might just work with Dunn.
Yeah,
and
you just throw him into the fire, right? You're a rookie, but here you go.
And some team is really desperate for point guard and winds up going for it. I could see there being a package that could make them better. They add some defensive specialists and give them a shooter or two and just kind of fill in the spots there.
I wonder, though, where do you see a team needing a point guard that would give up assets for Ricky Rubio? Like, Rubio's on a good contract.
New Orleans.
Oh, okay. Good call.
New Orleans after the, especially after the new guys are kind of implemented. Like, what if Buddy Hield comes out and really is awesome, and all of a sudden Etuan Moore is expendable?
Yeah, that's true.
And you can deal Etuan Moore and Omar Asik. Asik, we'll just send Asik back to Tibbs. This is perfect.
Sure, I mean, he was good under Tibbs. Why not?
I'm sorry. so yeah, I'll take the over. I don't feel great about it. There's a lot of reasons to hit the under.
Yeah, I think they'll be about 500.
Like, I have the over, but I would tell you to bet the under. Like, that's my helpful betting advice. Is I like them for 42 wins, but you should say that they're going to win under.
But you should definitely go under.
I'm basically projecting for them to hit what I think is kind of their ceiling.
Yeah.
I think they will hit their ceiling.
Yeah.
I just think that ceiling will just be barely above 500. I don't think, they're not going to win more than that.
Yeah, I think their goal should be, let's be a 500 team.
Right. I say they're not going to win more than that, and I say a lot of things. I was like, congratulations on the 56 win to Minnesota Timberwolves.
They just beat
only by the 60 win Utah Jazz.
All right. Denver Nuggets to close out this division. Over-under is 36.5. I had them for 40 wins, and then I just had to lop off some victories. So I still have them over. I have them at 37, but I feel like this is, unless they're just catastrophic injuries, I do feel like the over is pretty safe here.
It's a lock. It opened at 34.5 and bumped up to 36.5, because I think the public just hammered the over.
Yeah.
This is a lock, in my opinion. Like, if they really do get hit with the injury bug again for the fourth year in a row, you would feel good about the money you lost, as good as you can feel about money you lost. But Michael Malone's a good coach. They've bought in. These guys are engaged. They want to win. They're not going to sacrifice player development, but they can do both as their benefit. Gallo was surprisingly effective last year when you look at him overall in terms of production and efficiency. He's probably going to have more trust. They are going to run the offense or Nikola Jokic. Like, that's where the offense is coming from. I think pretty much your determination on the over-under here should be, how good you think Nikola Jokic is. Like, that should be pretty much where the decision comes down. If you're like, who? Then maybe bet the under. if you believe that he can be a really good player in this league, which I think he can be. Emmanuel Mudiay has shown up in great shape. Gary Harris is in excellent condition. I don't think the rookies are going to play much at all. I think that they've got good guys.
I don't think there's a need to.
Right. They've got good positional depth. Wilson Chandler is going to help them so much just by being around. Just as a guy that can switch in a 1-5, 1-4 combo. Malone is keeps talking up the fact that they can run big, medium, and small ball. Like, they have flexibility to run lineups of whatever.
So you have, who do you have winning the division? The Thunder?
No, I have the Jazz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I have the Jazz. I just have the Jazz winning it at 46 wins. I just think it'll be really competitive.
Not 54.
I have incredible parity in the league. Like, I have a high level of parity, which is going to manifest itself in a lot of conversations about mediocrity. I just think that's kind of going to be the result when you have all of the talent in Golden State. I think that there's going to be real parity, I think, within much of the rest of the league. Like, there's three top teams in the West, and there's three top teams in the East, and then there's a big middle in both conferences with just a few teams at the bottom. Now, that's going to change, and there'll be one team that's absolutely wretched. But I just think that, by and large, I've got a huge number of wins kind of piled between a sub 50 to plus 30 is where most of the league is, like, almost the entirety. I've only got, I only picked 1, 2, 3, 4. I picked 5 teams under 30 wins and only 6 teams over 50 or more.
Okay.
So I've got
a big middle.
Yeah, I've got 19 teams in the middle there.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of where I see playing out. I don't see it being – I think there'll be more parity even in a season in which there's such a huge divide between the best teams, the two best teams, and everybody else.
Well, let's get to that best team. The Los Angeles Lakers, the Golden State, Golden State Warriors, Pacific Division. They're over under 66.5. Now, last year, what was their over under? Like 61.5, 62.5, something like that. They'd come off 67 wins and a title, and we were like, oh, you know, maybe the over, but you know, there's probably a bit of a regression. They'll still be a 60 win team, but I'd be careful about the over under there. And then they won 73 games. This year it's 66.5. They added Kevin Durant. I feel pretty confident in the over on this one. I've got them for 69 wins now. 66.5 over under.
66.5. Oh yeah. I have them for 73 wins.
73.
Yeah.
Now
they will win exactly as many as they did last year.
I do find this interesting. Like, all right, so what's the only thing you can compare them to is the 96 through 98 Bulls, right?
Right.
So the 96 Bulls won 72 games, win a title. Next year, 69 games, win a title. Next year, 62 games, win a title. I do believe there is that cumulative effect that can just grind you down. That's just a lot of games to play year after year after year, unless you're LeBron James, right? But I, you know, being able to add to the roster in the way they did, even though you lose Bogut and you lose Azili, and you lose Barnes, being able to add Kevin Durant to this should give them enough of a rejuvenation to not have to worry about dropping that third year, right? And so, like, I don't even know if that's a good comparison. That's, like, really the only way we have to compare this team historically is what did the Bulls do. But I just, like, they added Kevin Durant. Like, I don't know what you do. I don't know how you possibly take the under here at 66.5.
If you take 1 through 15, I think – okay, God, how can I even put this? Say it's like – say you had, like, NBA 2K ratings, right,
yeah,
for each player. I think last year's – sum of every player 1 through 15 would be higher than this year's.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But the problem is 1 through 4 is so much higher than it was last year.
Right.
And really 1 through 5, because of, like, you lose Bogut. But Zaza's pretty good, if depending on which Zaza shows up. That's going to be a big key.
Right, that's, like, true.
Which Zaza shows up. I just keep getting back to, look, they've made it clear they don't really want to go for it, and they made it clear that they're going to rest.
It doesn't matter, though, right? It doesn't matter.
You're playing the Bucks on a Tuesday, okay?
Ooh,
they lost to the Bucks last year. So
Bucks are scrappy, Matt.
Right, but, like, let's say you're playing the Bucks on a Tuesday, and you want to get – well, they played them in the first month. I'm trying to think who's on the team. The Bulls. There you go.
Okay.
You're playing the Bulls on a Tuesday, and Steph's not feeling great. He's a little bit, like, he's a little wobbly. He, like, dreamed of Kevin Love last night. He's feeling a little sick. You know, he just isn't, he's not doing real well.
Right.
Okay. So he's out. The trainer says Draymond has got some built up tension in his ankle using our biometric data, and he needs to sit out tonight.
Or let's just say flu-like symptoms.
Flu-like symptoms.
For Draymond
Green.
They were
in Los Angeles the night before.
Right.
You still have Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, and that might be enough to get you past the Bulls on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of – they are going to win so many games that are just like normal teams lose this game. I'm actually real high on Brad Stevens. He's made winning the back-to-backs a priority. I think that's fascinating. I wrote about this last year. Like, it's really fascinating to me that he makes – winning the back-to-backs are an area where he's like, we're going to win these games. And they have an incredible record on the back-to-backs. You turn situations that drag everybody else down, and you turn it into an advantage, and that's key. And I think the Warriors are going to do that in a lot of situations where it's like, well, we didn't really have it, and we're tired, and we don't really care. But, oh, you were playing the Magic, and you trounced them by 30. Like, they're just going to be that much better than everybody else.
Yep.
And I think they can match last year's total by not even trying. The money line for over 73 is plus 500.
Ooh. I don't hate that, Matt.
If they get the 68 wins in March, do you really think Draymond Green's not going to be like,
of course they're going for it.
Like, let's show them.
Yeah. Because that's the spirit of this team. Whether you like, some people don't like it anymore, but that's the spirit of this team, right? It's like, no, we're going to show you that we can do whatever we want.
Right. We're going to rub your face in it. And if you rub our faces in anything, we're going to take it as huge offense.
Right, exactly. Like, the Bucks were excited that they beat them. In the season, the Bucks were going to go nowhere, right? And they're like, how dare you?
Right. So I've gone for 73, and I feel...
Yeah, like, even if you... I don't even think you need to feel like they can approach last year's win total. And
but
still
the over
feel, yeah, and still feel really good about the over.
Yeah, the over's easy, which is crazy for 66.5 wins, but that's what we're talking
about. That's where
we live, yeah. Like, they have the same kind of chance to get 70 to pass 66.5 wins, right? They have this... that is as good an odds as being up 3-1 in the finals. Like, it's...
That's tough to blow twice, Mark.
It's a sure thing.
That's really tough to blow twice. All right. Los Angeles Clippers. Now, this was the team I kind of battled with in terms of the Jazz. Of like, I was going to put one at 54 and I was going to put one
where
at 52.
Where are we? What are you...
Matt, okay. Show me the weakness.
Okay.
Show me the weakness. Okay. I love this Clippers team. I love that they're apparently going to try to speed things up a little bit. With getting into their offense and use more ball movement, they fixed some defensive coverage last year with the pick and roll, and their defense just shot up the rankings. I don't feel great about their depth, but I didn't feel great about their depth last year, and they ended up making it work once Blake Griffin went down. By the way, they're adding Blake Griffin back to the mix; like, he's really good. Their over/under is 53.5. In the spirit of our podcast so far, where we're like, "Hey, I feel really good about this team. I'm taking the under." I've got them at 52 wins. I'm taking the under, but I think it's smart to bet the over.
I've got them at 55. I think it's a lock. This is a lock. Lock. Griffin was out last year. Like, they didn't have Blake Griffin last year.
Yeah, he played, 35 games, 37 games, something like that?
Yeah, and, like, had dissension and trade rumors, and Chris missed some time, and they still won 53 games.
Yes.
This is a no-brainer. They are going to cruise. I think the two seeds in play, even though I'm not going to take them for such,
definitely in play.
I've gone for 55. I think they are the third best team in the Western Conference. This is a no-brainer.
All right.
Unless
they trade Blake. The Los Angeles Lakers. 25.5 wins is their over/under. I think Luke Walton could be good for them. It just seems like they're in a better place mentally as a team in terms of enjoying playing for their coach. That probably matters. You add Luol Deng. Sure, Timofey Mozgov's contract looks like a good punchline, but I still think he's a good enough player to where he should be better than Roy Hibbert was last year. Not a high bar to clear, but I think that is pretty much a lock. I love Brandon Ingram. I think D'Angelo Russell is going to be really good going into his second year. I like Jordan Clarkson a lot. But I still just don't know how they win games. I just can't. I think they're too young to win games. And so I've got them at 24 wins.
By the way, the Warriors have a 1-40 odds of winning the division.
Oh, you want to sell me on the value of the Clippers? What are the Clippers?
7-1.
And you want to sell me on that like you did the Pistons?
No. It's good return, but can't at all. I've got the Lakers under. I just the young team gonna struggle to win games. I think they'll be better, but I do not like the over there. They're not going to be a relevant team for another 2 years. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah,
that's just not
who
they are. 25.5 is way too high. Not way too high. It's considerably higher. I've got them at 23. I think that they'll be low 20s. And it's a growing year, and that's just how it's going to have to be.
Yeah. Sacramento Kings, 32.5 wins for an over/under. I copped out and went to 33 because I have no idea what to expect from this team. So I just decided to go a half win over the over.
Same. I've got them for 33. This is not going to be a good team at all. That over/under was very well positioned.
Yeah.
Because it's like Cousins and anything is going to get you to like 20 to 25. And then you're like, oh, they've got so many centers. But then you're like, oh, but they could trade Rudy Gay, and every team that trades Rudy Gay goes on a tear.
Yeah. But they're going to miss Darren Collison for like a quarter of the season. Most likely when he gets suspended, right? Like, maybe Ty Lawson rebounds. Probably not. I mean, I don't think Aaron Aflalo is very good anymore, or at least in terms of like an impact player on a team. Like, I just don't see it. I like some of the veterans they added, but I just don't feel good about it. But I'm copping out and going halfway over.
I feel like this is just going to be a forgettable year.
Yeah, and I like Dave Yeager. Like, I think if any coach that they've had in the last 5 years, which is a lot of them, can, you know, kind of get this team to play some defense, I think it's Dave Yeager. Well, that's unfair to Michael Malone, but Michael Malone also wasn't given a shot, right? So,
right.
I'll throw that in there. But yeah, like, I don't know what to think.
They're weird and strange, and the roster makes no sense, and no.
Yeah. Phoenix Suns. 28.5 for the over-under.
Where did that number come from?
I just don't think this team's any good.
Like, I'm going to always have a fondness for Eric Bledsoe, but I'm also just like, he isn't so good that he can drag the team up. I think Brandon Knight might get dealt. Devin Booker's still really young. He's very good. Tyson Chandler hasn't looked past the ability of being an impact guy. And other than that, they're super young. To me, a team that's got that much youth on it, nine out of their 15 guys have fewer than 5 years of NBA experience.
Yeah.
It's hard to learn how to win. I just don't see it happening. I've got them for 24.
I got them 21. I just think, and I almost had them as the worst team in the league. They were the team I struggled the most not putting them in the teens.
Look, Booker could absolutely explode, and they could still be bad.
Right. Like, I think Devin Booker could have an excellent second year and not matter. Right? Like, they're that bad.
The ifs are, we talked about the if thing. There's too many ifs there. Like, you need, if Tyson Chandler really gets back to being Tyson Chandler and he melds perfectly with whoever they wind up playing at four, if Jared Dudley can play good defense in terms of rotational coverage, if they extend Tyson Chandler out, like, Dudley had a whole thing that he was asked about media day because I had talked about how the Wizards struggled with him at four last year, and he was like, I can really disrupt things on the perimeter. And I was like, that's absolutely true. Jared Dudley is a very good perimeter defender at stretch four. The problem is, if you need a four that's going to come over and rotate down when you put the center in the high pick and roll and there's all that space and you got to have a guy to get down to the corner from the corner, it's tough. It's just really tough.
Really hard to do.
Yeah, and for a guy with his mileage, that becomes difficult. You need like a really – like that's why Serge Ibaka is so valuable, right?
Yeah.
The ground he covers. There's just a number of ways. There's so many things that have to go absolutely right for this team.
When's the last time Eric Bledsoe was healthy?
I'm not sold on Earl Watson. I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what to think of Earl Watson.
Yeah.
I don't know how you judge what he did last year, good or bad. So it's going in with an incredible unknown. And, like, I don't think this is a fair way. It's not a knock on Devin Booker, but when they gave him a big load of how to, you know, of all this responsibility in the second half of the season, he just wasn't very efficient, which is understandable. Like, he's 19 and he's playing on a horrible team with no help, and teams can just key in on him. But I don't know how he gets them. I don't know how he improves enough in year two to make that not a thing anymore.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, he kind of fell off. It was he shot 29% from 3-point range, and like his efficiency got into an old mine cart and screamed Yahoo while it ran off a cliff in a cartoon.
Right.
That's how bad it was.
So, yeah. And again, not a knock on him. It's just like, where's the help this year? I just don't see it.
The under is very easy there.
Yeah, I like the under a lot.
That one's going to be wrong.
They're going to win 38 games. All right, Southwest Division. Let's start with the Memphis Grizzlies. I had a really tough time. Their over under is 43.5. I had a really tough time not giving them 50 wins. I have them at 48. I think it's one of the easiest locks in this entire thing. Adding Chandler Parsons, even though he's not entirely healthy yet, is huge for them. Any kind of relative health for this team puts them at least 45 wins for me.
They were a complete wreck last year. Like, the injuries are one thing, but people forget they got nuked the first month of the season.
Yeah.
Like, a 50-point loss to the Warriors, a 30-point loss to the Cavaliers. They hated life. There is, I think the losses last year may have finally convinced everyone on this team, except for Tony Allen, that changes had to be made. Like, talking to Fizdale and talking to a few of the players, like, there does seem to be an indication of we want to win, and we know, like, we don't get to say we can win on our terms anymore.
Right.
We're just not in that position right now. And I think Fizz is going to do a great job.
Everyone you talk to around the league, like, thinks this guy is super smart. And now, he's going to be a great coach.
There have been guys that haven't worked out, but it just seems like he's got such a good relationship with star players and role players. Like, he just gets guys, and he's a communicator. And yeah. I tend to – like, Steve Clifford's the kind of guy that comes in with that rep, and he's been a really good coach. I think Gasol will be healthy. It's just
I do
from the, from everyone I've talked to, and that's like a speculation thing. I'm not a doctor, and I don't have any medical report, but he hasn't been limited, and there's been no real indication that he's gonna. And also, like, this is a guy that plays through pain all the time. I just part of me is like, no, his foot may hurt. If it's not broken, he's not gonna care. Like, he's just gonna play through, and he's gonna play well. I think Conley's gonna have a really strong year. The injuries could all happen. Like, Conley, Gasol, and Parsons could all miss part of the year as long as they don't overlap and they could still win 44 games. To me, the over-under is extremely secure in this instance. It would just take, like, and part of it also is people keep, like, they really want to say, like, there's just, I just do not like this team. And, like, there's so many injury issues. And I'm like, this team is, since 2011, what, like, all they do is exceed their over-under and make the playoffs. Like, they are just over 500. They do, when they fall back to 42, 43 wins.
Right.
They don't fall back to 37, 39 wins. So, right. I think the over-under is extremely safe there.
Easy, easy. Dallas Mavericks, over-under 39 wins. I'm not doing it this year, Matt. I'm never going under against Rick Carlisle again. Never again. I've got him over at 41. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm never doubting Rick Carlisle ever again. I like the team, first of all. And second, I just think that he's a wizard and he can't be beaten in terms of over-unders.
Well, in The Simpsons, there's this great scene where Bart and Lisa are playing rock, paper, scissors. And Lisa says, poor, predictable Bart always takes rock. And then in her mind, and then in Bart's mind, he says, good old rock. Nothing beats that. That's how I am with this team. Because once again, I'm picking the under. Once again, I'm going back into the fire. Honestly, it was that I had to find some wins. I'll probably bump them up.
Yeah.
I have them for 35 right now.
Ooh, that's low. That's really low. I get why you could say that, but
if Dirk falls off, what happens?
JJ Barea.
The way you said that was sensual. Sensual.
No, I think there are a lot of reasons why this could be under, but Rick Carlisle scares me. I just can't do it.
Yeah, but there's also what if Rick Carlisle clashes with Bogut and Barnes?
I think he wins, no matter what. I think he wins.
You're probably right. You're right. Man, I got to chop off some wins from somebody else.
Means you got to find five wins.
That's the problem. I can knock the Nuggets down to 37, and get them back up to 37.
Yeah, but even then, like, you got to find three wins. And that's the funny thing to me. Like, whenever people, like, fans will cherry pick their own team if you're, like, low on them, right? And they're like, "How could you pick us to be so low?" And my whole point every year is just like, find me the win. Like, I have to have a certain number of wins, and you got. And granted, I could be wrong on this, but just find me the win somewhere else.
Like, if I could, I would just have like 17 teams at 47 wins. Like, it would just be everybody. I'd be like, they could be really good. That's not mathematically possible. I am confined by physics, by mathematics. I have the math problem.
Didn't we say on a podcast you said you're putting the Kings at zero wins? So there's 33 right there.
I did think about that, but I just, like, putting the Kings for zero and giving everybody else their wins because it would help me get everybody else over. I really thought about it, but
yeah.
Some serious Kings ticket holders and follow me, and it would be bad. But let's talk about Spurs.
Yeah. Over under 57. I've got them significantly under, still very good. I just don't know what to think about them, you know, without Tim Duncan. I don't really know what to think about Tony Parker. And it seems like the last 5 years, every time I think, hey, Manu Ginobili's going to be really good, he's awful. And every time I'm like, oh, Ginobili's done, then he's pretty good. And so that was enough. Like, it's stupid to doubt Kawhi and Pop, right? And LaMarcus Aldridge is pretty good. And Danny Green's not going to be as bad as he was last year shooting the ball. I just don't believe he will be. I can see why you think the over is in play here, but I had him at 51, which sounds super low, but they're also a team where I had to lop off like four wins to get to where that magic number is.
Last year, they had an insanely easy start to the season. Their first 2 months was nothing but cupcakes, and that helped them establish chemistry and get through some of the rough learning parts. And that's part of why they built that. They had an incredible season and were a really great team.
Yeah,
but that's part of why the win total was so exasperated, was because of the way that the schedule worked out. They play a lot more playoff teams early on this season. They have a much more balanced schedule. They've got some cupcakes, but they also have some tough ones intermixed through there through the first month of the season. I think the plus Pau Gasol minus Tim Duncan minus Boris Diaw is a net negative. I think that's a net loss for the Spurs. I do not think Pau Gasol. I just keep going back to, teams are going to put Tony Parker and Pau Gasol on pick and roll, and what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and they lost a lot of depth. Like, you lose Diaw, you lose Boban.
You could say Kawhi's going to make a play, but teams found out you can put Kawhi. If Kawhi has to guard a top level player to try and neutralize him, you can put that guy in the corner and attack with the other guys. Yeah. And that is an effective approach. They did lose David West, who was bad in the playoffs but good in the regular season. They lost Boban.
Yeah, they just lost a lot of depth. And I'm sure they can find guys to plug it, right? But it's and it sounds like they won 68 games last year, 69 games. Like, like something ridiculous, right? But so, like, me saying they're going to win 18 fewer games or whatever the total ends up being sounds insane. I just had to get somewhere.
I've got them only slightly under. I'm at 55. They're going to win more than 50 games.
Yeah, I feel like if the over-under was 50 and a half games, I feel super confident in that, even though I only have them at 51, right?
Yeah, I would say to hammer the over there.
Right.
It's just, you know, and look, if the Spurs do it, it's another year where they surprise, and nobody's going to, you know, we're not at all, it's not like I would say do not under any circumstances put money on the under for the San Antonio Spurs.
No, I'm completely staying away from this one, and I'm fully prepared to look like an idiot because of it.
They are 1-7 favorites to win the division. The Grizzlies are 8-1.
I kind of like that Grizzlies bet. I gotta tell you,
I can't. I just can't see them winning more than that. You have to just factor in the injuries. Like, there's just no way to get around, because like Parker goes down for 2 months and Patty Mills fills in and they still win. LaMarcus goes down and Powell still gives them enough offense for them to survive. You know, with the Grizzlies, this is the problem. Like, the injuries, there are too many scenarios where if Conley goes down, you're talking Wade Baldwin, Andrew Harrison, Tony Roten. Those are your three options for backup point.
Tony Roten's really good every year in those Seattle Pro-Ams. Just keep that in mind.
If Chandler Parsons goes down, like, we're talking Tyler Ennis.
No, James Ennis.
James Ennis.
Yeah.
Tyler Ennis is not that guy.
About as effective as Tyler Ennis.
Right. So I can't see it.
Like, all right, they added David Lee. I don't know what that means. They added a couple of Argentinian guys.
Those who guys, will probably be great. And
will probably
be
awesome, right, exactly. They're just going to make us look stupid, I'm convinced. All right, next team, New Orleans Pelicans, 36.5. James and I talked about them quite a bit yesterday. I can see that this team just goes all in defensively, right, and just tries to make every game ugly. And my comp was, like, they essentially turn Anthony Davis into a power forward Allen Iverson from 15 years ago, where it's like, we're going to lock everyone down defensively. Go win us a game, please. And I can see that strategy being solid. I don't know if it's good enough to make the playoffs in the West, but in terms of like clearing 36.5, like, I've got them at 40 wins. I don't know how to factor in this Drew Holiday thing, though. With his wife needing treatment and him taking time away for it, obviously the time away will matter how long, you know, or what their win total is overall. So I may drop them down a couple of wins by the end, but I still feel pretty good about at least 37 wins.
My thing with the whole thing is, that doesn't sound like Alvin Gentry at all. Like, that doesn't sound like what he will do at all.
Well, right, but I'm hoping he will adapt to his personnel, and his personnel is all defense. That's really all they got.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you're right. It doesn't sound like Alvin Gentry. I'm just hoping he adapts.
I have him with the over. That's where I'm going to find. That's where I'm going to find wins for the Mavericks. Because I have him at 39,
yeah.
And that's preposterous. I'm going to take the under. I'm going to say they're going to win like 34 games. Look, I like Etwan Moore a lot. I like Solomon Hill a lot. I like a lot of these guys. Drew's out for the first month of the season. Tim Frazier is starting.
Ooh, wait, why not like Langston Galloway or Etwan Moore? Why would you ever throw Tim Frazier onto an NBA basketball court?
Oshik is still there and he's still a net negative.
I think he's going to have a good year.
Okay.
That was the most dismissive, dickish way you've ever responded to me.
It's like when your friend who's a screw up is like, I'm gonna get a job, man, and you're like,
I'm gonna start working out and I'm gonna get a job. Like, yeah, sure, buddy.
Okay. Sure thing, Todd from BoJack. By the way, that's probably the reason probably all my numbers keep going down and down and down is I've been binging BoJack, and so like I'm just like everything is terrible.
Right.
Like life is just a miserable expanse.
Do you want me to switch you to an over on the Mavericks now?
Switch me to an over. Right. That's where I'm doing that right now. I'm sorry, Pelicans fans. I want the best for you. But you can't have nice things.
Oh man.
Yeah, we'll go to the Mavericks at 40. Okay. And last team,
Houston Rockets. Mike D'Antoni, sans mustache, which I don't like. I don't like him without a mustache.
I haven't seen this yet. That's going to freak me out when I see it.
It's not cool. I don't like it. I said yesterday we need to petition the White House to get one of those petitions going to get a mustache on Mike D'Antoni. So their over-under is 43?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I've got them at 43.
I hate that over-under. That
I don't
is
like
a,
it at all.
That's a giant glaring stay away. Don't even go anywhere near that number. I've got them for 40 because I had to find wins. I'm starting to get a little bit higher on them as we get closer to the season, especially with the positive vibes that are coming out of camp with how much Harden has been like, no, like I think Mike D'Antoni can make me better.
Yeah,
I mean, whatever.
These are just words, and he could definitely turn.
It matters, though.
It matters, and he also said like he's kind of owned up to the idea that he wasn't a leader last year, right? And that he needed to kind of reignite stuff. And it sounds like he's done it. Now, if they start out, 4-11, then we'll see where he goes mentally. But I'm kind of buying into a James Harden renaissance.
And I was like, I was thinking like, are they really gonna be able to score more than they're gonna give up? And I was like, I don't know, man. Harden, Gordon, Ryan Anderson, that's a lot of weaponry. Like, they got a lot of guys that can get buckets. I think most of it's going to come down to what kind of season Trevor Ariza has and what kind of a season Patrick Beverley has.
Yeah, I was super down on Ariza last year.
He was terrible.
He was so bad defensively.
I just hope, hopefully he's, like, the better chemistry and he just, healthier and back into it and just in a better place. Some other odds, Mavericks are 25-1 to win. That's terrible. The Rockets are 15-1. That's kind of interesting. Like if D'Antoni really, if they just take off, like let's say that they just catch everybody by surprise and just storm out to a huge lead. I could see that. I could see the Rockets getting it.
I don't know. Like 50 plus seems like a lot,
but at 15-1.
So you're telling me they have a chance of being better than the Spurs? Like all the stuff we just said about the Spurs and their over under.
Tim Duncan's gone. What if the Magic is gone?
They got Dwayne Dedmon.
Or that
Livio Jean Charles.
I was about to say guy. Like I'm like what's a European name I could just make up on the spot? The Kings are 150-1 to win the Pacific Division.
I bet they are.
The Lakers are 500-1. That's the worst odds for a single division bet. That's worse than in the Central. That's what's surprising is the Cavs, right, are 1-10 favorites, but the Bulls are 40-1 to win the division. That's 40-1. Bucks are 25-1. Pacers are 15-1. Pistons 12-1. The Northwest is probably where you get the best chance for a return on investment. Like, as I know that the Jazz, but still.
And the Jazz are winning 68 games this year.
The number just keeps going up, which is weird. I thought that it would be with the Timberwolves. Is that the more you thought about you're going to see Carl Anthony Towns on opening night and be like, I'm taking it all back.
I'm taking it all back. He's dropping like 34, 19, and 8 on the first night, and I'm just going to start betting futures NBA title for the Timberwolves.
So this is interesting. On September 20th, the Nuggets' odds for winning the division were 50-1. 6 days later, they're 30-1.
Ooh.
Like, there's buzz around the Denver Nuggets, which is not good because they never – like, their opening schedule, by the way, is a nightmarish hellscape. Like, the Nuggets are – I openly told Michael Malone, I was like, you're going to be chasing 500 in January. And then he looked at me, and my soul started to cry frozen tears of blood. But I was just like, you're in such a – like, if you don't knock off a bunch of playoff teams in the first month of the season with your roster featuring three dudes under 24,
Wasn't this them 2 years? Didn't they have a crazy unbalanced schedule like 2 years ago?
Yes. Here's a crazy thing. I talked to some people, and I actually had this confirmed. There was an initial schedule that came out. The teams can basically petition and be like, hey, by the way, this is really messed up. Like the Nuggets opening their opening schedule was worse than this.
Oh my God.
Like it's for whatever, most of it is, if you notice, actually the league, you would think kind of like in the NFL, the good teams have to play the good teams. So the good team, like if you go really deep in the playoffs, you have a really tough schedule the next year.
Yeah.
It's kind of the opposite where a lot of the good teams get more breaks because the league's like, well, you need to keep them in a good position for later down the run. Like we need them to be in good shape for the playoffs.
And Denver's just kind of this middle of the road team that keeps getting crapped on with their schedule.
Well, I would actually say it's just the bad teams. Like the bad teams usually have rough schedules.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you're not going to win anyway. Like, what does it matter? You know, yeah. Which obviously I don't think the coaches are big fans of. I do want to look at the odds to win the West, though. Hang on. Well, I guess here's a better thing. What team, if I told you right now, the Warriors do not get the number one seed, which, again, is incomprehensible, but let's say it happens, what's the one team that you would think would do it, would win the West?
Would
Not the playoffs.
Not the playoffs, just the one seed?
Mm-hmm.
Clippers.
Okay.
Despite having the Jazz higher than everyone not named the Warriors, I would say the Clippers.
What is wrong?
Hey.
Seriously, I'm going to hose you down.
Show me the weakness, Matt.
And the Eastern Conference, what's the one, if the I told you the Cavaliers
yeah.
do not get the one seed.
Boston? I guess Boston. Yeah, I could see them taking off.
Can you imagine their fans?
Yeah, I mean, they just have to be how they are with the Red Sox and the Patriots. So yeah, I can imagine their fans, man.
Yeah, I can envision. Yeah, I can close my eyes and procrastinate.
Yeah, I think I can figure that.
In a scenario.
I think I can figure that one out.
Yeah, I got to figure out this Raptors-Celtics thing. It's tough.
I don't know. That's... Yeah, so we recorded the East about, I don't know, 2 hours before we recorded the West, and the entire time I was thinking about it, and I went through and edited. The whole time I was thinking like, man, I think I'm too low on this Raptors team. I think I'm too low on the Celtics team. I think I'm too low on both of them. What if I'm too high on both of them? What if they both aren't that good?
I have to take off wins from both of them to give them to the Jazz. That case. All right. Rank the. You don't think the Wizards are going to be or the Wolves are going to be good?
I think they're going to be about 500.
Who's going to have the most wins out of this? Out of these three. Portland, Dallas, Houston.
Well, I picked Portland and Houston to tie, so it's one of those teams. I'll go Portland.
Isn't that crazy? Like, yeah. The Rockets have James Harden. The Mavericks have Dirk Nowitzki and...
Damian Lillard's pretty good.
Dame's pretty good.
Yeah. Plus, his fans are still freaking out that he didn't make an All-Star game when he made All-NBA. One of those matters. One of those matters. The other one's the All-Star game.
What do I have to... Okay, so here's the thing. If I... What do I have to do to get you on board, Nikola Jokic? I feel like you're resisting, and I need you to be on this with me. I need you on my team.
I just have Mike Malone play him 28 minutes a game.
Okay.
If he could even be like 80% of this efficiency and a solid enough second-year defender as a big man at like 25 to 28 minutes a game, like I'm all in. I don't doubt his skill set. I just think like, there's a huge difference between being able to be this efficient at 18 minutes a game, 19 minutes a game, and being able to do it with, you know, about 10 more minutes.
I need you to interview him or just be in a scrum with him too. He's like the most likable guy in the locker room. Like everyone loves.
Oh, everyone loves him. He's apparently great. Like
at media day, he Chris Dempsey of the Post was like, what they told you about, you know, your body and conditioning. He's like, oh, they actually said that they wanted me to lose a few pounds. And Dempsey said, oh, he said, well, what are you at right now? He's like, 260. And then Dempsey was like, where do you feel like you would be good at? And he paused and like rolled his eyes and was like, 260, I'm good. Like, he's got a real DL like sense to him. He's a funny kid, man. He's just really funny. Like Wilson Chandler walked by and they were like, what do you think you guys could be good at defensively? He's like, I think we'll be great as long as Wilson Chandler's not on the floor. We should be really good. He's like this young kid. Everyone loves him. They call him Joker because Joker. And he's just – I will say, I was really skeptical of the kid for 2 months, and I've going back and watching a lot of the video, I'm like, God, this kid
is
really
– I think if he can get you to stop being down on European players, he has to be good, right?
He did.
Like, he has to be good to get you to break decades of hating European players.
Decades.
Like, not even Dirk Nowitzki could have cracked you.
He's not European. He's German. It's a whole different deal.
I'm gonna quibble with your facts there, Matt.
Did you? No, I can't go there.
Wow. I'm just gonna bleep that entire sequence.
Oh, okay. Fun pod. Good times.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks.